T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty.
Let's go Dutch! What's up, Oregon?
With Coin6 sportscaster AJ McCord.
You never believe you're out of a fight. You never believe you're out of a game. Where does that come from?
It's having some pride, having belief.
And Dusty, the fan man, Hera.
Jonathan Smith, Oregon State head football coach. Do you have a fullback that it will run his head through a wall?
Yeah, we've got that thought.
AJ and Dusty on 1080.
I proved it up. I'm not running from nobody.
The Fan.
All right, hour number 2, AJ and Dusty with you. The Oregon Ducks getting ready for the Pac-12 championship game, which you can hear right here on The Fan. Our pregame coverage will start on Friday at this time with Ducks tailgate with Dirt and Anthony Newman leading you up to pregame show with Jerry, Jorgie, Terry, and Joey starting at 3 o'clock and a 5 o'clock kick right here on The Fan.
Fun.
Boom. But this
festive
it is.
December.
The Ducks are going to have yet another preparation for a bowl game with their offensive coordinator potentially on the way out. As Bruce Feldman said, Akron zeroed in on Joe Moorhead to become the next head coach for the Zips. And after the Pac-12 title game, it will likely be announced.
Okay.
This is surprising to me.
It's kind of surprising because I think that Joe Moorhead could have gone to a lot of places.
It does appear that his name should be bigger. He was a head coach in the SEC, for goodness sakes.
Right.
At Mississippi State.
Mm-hmm.
And then Akron is the next move for him.
It is close to home.
Sure.
Right? From Pittsburgh. So close-ish to home. But it's an interesting move unless there's something personal, in my opinion.
Well, he did have the health scare this year.
Yeah.
So
that could very well be personal.
That could play a role in it. But you would think that his job and his stature would lend him to getting another Power 5 job or just something better than Akron. Because Akron, I love Maction, but my goodness, that is not a good gig. I shouldn't say a good gig. It's a head coaching job. It is not a prestigious job and not one that you would expect Moorhead to jump at. So the proximity to his hometown, being in Pittsburgh, it is an FBS job.
Mm-hmm.
Sure, you can see it, but this goes back to now Oregon is going back to the drawing table with their offensive coordinator position.
Which, I mean, they've good news, bad news. They've done this before,
yep.
And it's proved successful.
Well, Mario Cristobal has done a fantastic job with every coordinator that he had. Honestly, his assistants that he's brought in have been nails, right? Like Marcus Arroyo, his play calling, you can criticize that. He was there to build recruiting. Mm-hmm. He was obviously attractive enough that UNLV wanted to go grab him as their head coach. And that's going to be a rebuild at UNLV that is still in progress even after 2 years.
Oh, yeah. Well, because rebuilds in college, you should give people like 4 years at least. You should get your guys their first round of guys all the way up until their seniors. But I think for Oregon, the good thing and the bad, like this is part of what comes with being a successful program, right? Mm-hmm. Is that you end up attracting coordinators who see this path for other head coaches. And I think that I haven't looked at like the number of coordinators Saban has had to replace over the years, but I'm sure it's quite a few. Mm-hmm. And so this is part of the, you know, cost of doing business at this high of a level in college football. And this is why even like Jonathan Smith, when he was talking about his extension at Oregon State, he talked about having a bigger pool for assistants,
right,
because that's how you not only get great talent in as coordinators, but you try to keep them, because it takes you have to know the kind of person that you're hiring to say someone's going to turn down a head coaching job simply because it's not the right one yet, right? Like, mm-hmm. which this could be the right one for Joe Moorhead, and that it's totally fine. But I think that knowing the program that you're bringing this coordinator into, you have to also like know the character of the person that you're bringing in, and know that it's not that you don't want them to go on and do great things. It's just that you hope they'll wait until it's the right job for them.
You really do. You want your coaches to get these jobs.
Yeah.
You don't want your coordinators leaving for other coordinator positions, and that hasn't happened.
Right.
What it is, it's the ultimate sign that your program is on the right track.
Totally.
And you're doing the right things. But now you have to sit there, and we've talked about this. This is why it is so hard and such a hard thing to do, especially when you're not a Nick Saban,
mm-hmm.
who what Nick Saban has done as he has just built this juggernaut where the talent, you can change systems like they did when they went to a more spread attack from mm-hmm. a downhill attack when they got Lane Kiffin in and they brought Steve Sarkisian. You have the dudes just to say, yeah, we can change. We can just put the cloak on and be someone different in an instant, right?
Yep.
Oregon isn't there, and
right.
very few programs are. So you have to find something that is similar and suited to the identity of Oregon and the players' system that isn't far off of what the players are doing. The good thing is that with Joe Moorhead being the coordinator the last 2 years, he's so multiple in the RPO game mm-hmm. that you've already asked your guys to do a whole heck of a lot.
Yep.
And this is going to be a big hire because of next year's supposed to be the year.
Right.
So it's got to be close enough to Moorhead's style and system that you can pop with those offensive guys.
Yeah, with the players that you already have in the building.
Right.
So.
And that is the where does Oregon go from here?
Yeah.
And the good news is that you're going to be attractive to anybody because it's Oregon, their top 10 program.
Yep.
And there's going to be people lining up to be the coordinator here. The wild card in all this is, all right, look at the available people out there. Or, I mean, let's be honest, they don't even have to be available right now. You can go pluck someone that's a sitting coordinator somewhere else.
Right.
And where do you go from that? And I've heard, you know, you see names like Tom Herman that's floated out there. You've got all sorts of, because, you know, he's sitting on the sidelines after his ouster from Texas. What system fits in like a Herman style system would, where you have your zone concepts, you have some RPO game, and he was a hell of a coordinator and a hell of a recruiter when he was at Ohio State
yep.
the first time, but that's going to be another guy who's not going to be there for very long. Right. This name popped up on Twitter. I saw Nemec tweeted it out. And I really like this because it's a name that not a lot of people will know. His name is Brennan Marion, and he is the kind of guru of what's called the go-go offense.
Ooh, okay.
And the go-go offense is tempo. It can be used with two backs. It is, you do have RPOs built into it. It is very dynamic, and we know if running the ball is paramount in your first thing, the go-go. And there's elements of the go-go offense that Moorhead and Oregon have used. Not full send on it, but he is currently the receivers coach at Pitt. And if you haven't been following Pitt, they're playing in the ACC title game. And oh, by the way, they've got one of the guys who's in the Heisman Trophy conversation with Kenny Pickett.
Yep.
Right?
Yep.
The quarterback there. He's just a receivers coach, but his fingerprint is in the go-go is on the Pitt offense. And he's a young name. And if you have, he's 34 years old. He has been a play caller previously.
Mm.
And he's a super bright mind. Like he's one of those young, bright minds that you hear so much about in college football. And at 34, he could be a guy that I would keep my eye on because he's been well traveled already.
And that's one again where you have to decide, do you want young and very ambitious, right? Young and likely to move on in the future if this goes well. The other one that I've seen floated around is Jeff Tedbird. Tedford.
Yep.
And that's somebody who would be more of a, like a steadying sort of, not quite on the rise as much, but someone who has a lot of experience.
Boomerang him back to Oregon.
Yeah.
Been there.
I mean, that would be, that's another one that could be interesting.
Yeah. And that would be an interesting fit with Cristobal and the staff, because he is older, you know, and we could see, but like this text that came in said, is it me or is Joe Moorhead the oldest 48-year-old I've ever seen? He is an old looking 48-year-old, but dude can call plays. And I think that is numero uno with what Mario Cristobal is looking for.
I also think they really need to find somebody who can play into the strengths of any given quarterback. I think that whoever they tab next for the quarterback at Oregon, once Anthony Brown is gone, I think that's going to be massive part of it, is figure out how you can tap into the quarterbacks that you already have, right? Because they've done a decent job recruiting quarterbacks. So you want to find somebody who can get the most out of those quarterbacks.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's going to be a really key part to this.
This is going to be interesting to see, and it shouldn't come as a surprise, because Moorhead always was kind of the short-term answer at the coordinator position. But you got to trust Mario Cristobal to make the right hire on this, and he's going to scour every corner of this country. And I spent some time before the show just thinking of, where do you go? Because this is so, we're in a different stage in college football right now, where the pendulum is swinging back, right? We saw the pendulum swing towards spread and get into space and play in space and take your shots deep when you can. And we're going to just whip the ball all around the field and throw. Who are the top four teams in the college football playoff rankings right now? Georgia, Michigan, Alabama, Cincinnati. I don't identify any of those four programs. And even you could put Oklahoma State in there too, which is spread, but they will run the ball down your throat.
Yep.
It is, the pendulum is swinging towards more power style football. And it's not just, we're going to put up gaudy numbers and run as many plays as we can anymore. It is swinging towards, put you back into a phone booth and we'll see what happens at the top, right? And that's what Oregon's built for right now. And that is believe it or not, that's a harder thing to find than like, you know, finding the whip it all around, play in space coaching with run and shooter air raid backgrounds.
Yeah. And I think that's where, again, that's where you really have to find the person who can bring out the best in the players that you have, because that is what's going to leave you better than how you were left, right? Is like, you want to make sure that not only the recruits who are currently here, or the players who are currently on your roster set to make an impact next year, feel like, oh yeah, this coordinator gets me and can understand how to use me to the best of my abilities. But you're setting up the success for, if this guy moves on in 3 or 4 years, he's still recruiting the person who's coming in next, right?
For sure.
And so you want to make sure that you can really find someone who plays into the types of recruits that you have. And I think that's just going to be, it's a challenge. It's not a job I envy, but it's one that I think, again, and Oregon State fans could be feeling this situation at some point as well, just because this is what happens when your programs are good. This is what happens when you're either a very elite program or you're a very steady program who's very obviously climbing and on the rise like the Beavers are.
Joe Moorhead heading back to Akron. He was there from 04 to 08, which oddly is like the longest he's been in one place in his whole career. Seriously.
That's the longest time he's ever been anywhere?
Yeah.
How long was he in the SEC?
He was at for two seasons. He was at, like, look at his career. He went, he was a GA at Pitt. Then he went to Georgetown from 2000 through 2003. Then Akron in 04, 5, 6, 7, and 8. So 5 seasons there. Connecticut for 3 seasons.
Okay.
Then Fordham for 3 seasons. And then Penn State for 2. Mississippi State for 2. Oregon for 2.
Wow.
Man loves Northeast Ohio.
Akron, here we come.
Go Zips. But it does turn into a big job. And I am, this text at 503-250-1080 is an interesting one as well. It says Mark Whipple used to be Rodgers' quarterback coach, is the Pitt OC. He'd be good as well. I think that is a good call if you go. The Brendan Marion one, though, is a name to just keep an eye on because of the go-go.
Yeah.
They stretch you side to side, and then they just absolutely gut you with deep ball. It's a fun offense.
I was going to say, that sounds very fun.
It is very, it is, and it's unique. It looks weird at times.
I bet.
But it's a fun offense. It's not just solely RPO. Mm. It is helmet on a helmet. I think that would be, and it's a Pitt identity, too.
That's very true.
He's a wide receivers coach at Pitt, Whipple the OC at Pitt. I'm sure there will be no shortage of names that we see pop up for this one. And high-profile names. I think we'll see some head coaches that have been canned, too, be back in the mix here because Mario Cristobal obviously is not afraid to go get those guys. Nope. Two of them this past year have been your head coach or your coordinators.
Yeah, no, I think it's great. And I think that, again, it's not the first time you if you're Mario Cristobal, I'm sure he's like, ugh, I'd rather not do this every year. But he's proven that he's up to the task. So as much as it is, you know, angsty for Ducks fans to think about another coordinator moving on, the fact is this is not the first time. And if your program continues to be good, it won't be the last.
All right, Blazers giving an update to Damian Lillard. And I don't know. I'm not sure what this means. Next on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's going to go. Alvarez ties the game.
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
All right, update to Damian Lillard. The Blazers releasing a statement after he missed last night's game with his abdominal strain that MRI has confirmed Damian Lillard has lower abdominal tendinopathy. His recovery will be reevaluated in 10 days.
Okay.
So Dame's out for 10 days.
And to add injury to injury, Nasir Little out for a week.
Cool.
With a left ankle sprain.
All righty. Well, this was obviously the concern, was that we knew about Lillard's ab for, my God, but it's been years.
He's been dealing with it for years, and we knew over the summer that it was really bad.
So have we ever gotten like a straight answer of why he hasn't gotten it taken care of, or is it something he can get taken care of? Or
yeah, I mean, he says he's done everything that he can and is supposed to be doing in order to take care of it. So I don't know. I don't know how one fixes that. Like, that's not an injury that feels as clear cut to me as like a bone break or a sprain or, you know, it's like, it's almost like a hamstring pull, or, you know, in that
tendons are,
it's just
suck.
Really hard to heal muscles well.
That and rest is basically all you can do. And
that's what it seems like.
The guy just doesn't have that switch that goes off. And that's always been the problem, is that, you know, you never know if a guy's working out in the off season unless he posts a video of it, but you know that he is always working on his craft, and this summer was an extra load. I mean, think about the last 2 years, like really since this injury has ramped up, you had the bubble cutting so far into the summer.
Yep.
And then you start the season right away.
Mm-hmm.
You play all through that season. Then you go to the Olympics.
Yep.
You go through all the Team USA stuff throughout the summer. Then you go play in the Olympics. And then boom, you're back. Like, it was a month off that he had, barely a month off.
And he got married in that time.
Yeah.
I mean, like,
it's hard on the abs.
Well, I'm not saying it's hard on the abs. I'm just saying as far as like being around to do rest and recovery, not so much. And I think that that's the other thing is that he has been leaned on by this team, right? Like he has been needed. He has not been one of those. This has not been one of those teams where, especially down the stretch of the season, as you're getting ready for the playoffs, they have been able to afford to give him a night off here or there. And that's why last night when I saw that they were resting, or well, it wasn't, I don't think it was technically called rest, but whatever it was against the Pistons, it was like, good. That's what you should not need Damian Lillard to beat the Pistons.
Yeah.
So absolutely this should happen, right? And I think that I can only imagine how frustrating it is for Dame because he is such a competitor. He does everything possible to A, get better at his craft, but also to take care of his body because he knows that's a way of getting ready for your craft and taking care of your craft. And I think that it's very frustrating, but if only 10 days is what can get you going in the right direction from that injury standpoint, then you take it.
That would be 4 games that he would miss, and 3 of them are at home. So you know the Blazers are going to win because they're at home. It's San Antonio, Boston, and Clippers. Mm-hmm. And then he would go, he'd be gone for the road game at Golden State with the potential of coming back against Minnesota on the 12th of December.
And also maybe don't need to push him back from Minnesota.
Yep. but that is, and this is one of the schedule quirks that we talked about at the beginning of the year, but they've already played the Clippers 2 times. That'll be the 3rd time they play the Clippers. And when you are talking about, you know, where this team wants to jockey for position in the West, you always say, what do you say?
When a loss in December counts for the same amount as a loss in April.
That's right. But it used to be November. You have very quickly adjusted to this calendar change.
Give me 12 hours.
And now we have the 3rd game of 4 meetings with, or I think it is, I think this is the last meeting, actually.
I was
going to
say, I thought they'd played them 3 times already.
And so you would have the final meeting in, these are important matchups with the Clippers because you're, 0-2? I think they've only played them twice. Oh, no, they have played them twice. They're 1-2 against them.
So this is it's a very big game against the Clippers.
And it will be without Damian Lillard.
Right.
But again, it's at home.
And that game's on Monday?
Yes.
Well, so it'll also be without Nasir Little.
Yep, because he's out for a week with his ankle.
He's out for a week.
At least Ben McLemore saved the day last night, right?
Hey, 17 points off the bench.
That's good.
It's great.
I mean, it's
the Pistons, fine, but also
it's good, yeah.
Let him have his moment.
Yeah, it's way more points than I've ever scored off the bench in an NBA game.
Well, I mean, not me, but
yeah, it's true.
Me and my 5-4-0, you know. Let me tell you,
taking charges from Bobby Wagner,
left and right.
You would
for pride
if it was an option. but the longer this thing lingers, it's better that they just shut him down now as opposed to because we all know this, and this has kind of been the MO of the Blazers forever. They're going to need to ride Damian Lillard from the All-Star break to the end of the season. And you ain't going to be able to ride Damian Lillard if this tendinopathy is still bothering him.
No, but hey, maybe they make a move.
Sure. I have zero faith in that. But Lillard out for 10 more days at least. He'll be reevaluated with his ab strain. And then Nasir Little out a week with a left ankle injury. Coming up next, we've got conference championship games to bet on. I want to ask our BetMGM Tonight insider, Trista Crick, about who she feels will win the Heisman Trophy this year.
Okay.
How about that?
Those odds.
Vegas has lines on all these things.
I see them.
And we also have, can you hedge your bet with the Blazers covering on the road at least? Because we know they're not going to win.
So like, it's like an emotional.
It's an emotional thing.
It's an emotional thing, yeah.
Trista Crick from BetMGM Tonight will join us after Will with SportsCenter.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
Time to hit the phone lines and head out to our BetQL Network insider, host of BetMGM tonight, Trista Crick, joining us. Trista, how you doing?
I'm feeling good, especially since it's Wu-Tang Wednesday.
That's right. Every Wednesday is Wu-Tang Wednesday here.
Hold on.
All right, let's start with it. Pac-12 championship game this weekend. Oregon gets housed by 31 against Utah, and they get their revenge this week in the Pac-12 championship game. Currently, the line is Utah -2.5 at BetMGM. Do you like your beloved Ducks in this one? How should people feel after the butt kicking in Salt Lake a couple weeks ago?
You know, I don't feel like we should feel good. honestly, like, you saw what you saw. Those players aren't going to be some new players that show up on the field. The roster is what the roster is. And Oregon has just been flat out terrible in the second half. You saw it last week against Oregon State, right? Like, you knew it was going to happen. Like, you know that Oregon comes out swinging early and then they fade late. That is exactly what happened in that game. And, you know, they don't have any pride. It just doesn't feel like they have the ability to put four quarters together. And that's just really how I feel about it. I think the game, truthfully, I'm going to hammer multiple units on is this Utah game. I think with Utah getting spotted less than a field goal, I think I have to take them, unfortunately.
What conference championship game do you like across college football this weekend?
I think I like the SEC. You're seeing Georgia only get 6.5. That's sort of scary to me. My line feels like my personal, you know, Lockie Lockerson was on the show yesterday, and he was like, you know, what does your TK line say? Like, what is your nose where you would take Alabama? And I think it would be over a touchdown for me. I feel like I would only hop on Alabama at 7.5 or 8. I don't know that Alabama has an offensive line that's going to be able – well, I do know. They don't. They don't have an offensive line that's going to compete with Georgia in this defense. Like, Georgia has the best defense in the country. And you saw how Bryce Young was against Auburn's defense. Mm-hmm. He was running for his life pretty much the entire time. The only way, in my opinion, that Alabama is able to win this game is if Alabama's defense shows up. All of that to say, I really like the under. I like Georgia. I've already taken it. I waited up all night, Saturday night. I was waiting until the wee hours, Sunday morning hours, to take Georgia -6. I have them at 6, and I would really like the under in this game. Let's see what it is right this very second because it's been moving around. Let's see. Looks like it's 49.5. Yeah, I like under. I would probably buy the hook. I'd probably buy 50, but I don't actually see that happening either. Like, I think that the way for Alabama to get this done is like a 9-6 game, is like a 7-3 game. And I don't think that's going to happen, truthfully. But Alabama's defense is going to need to show up and need to get, like, a defensive score. Like, if you think this is going to be a high-octane game, it's not. It's just not.
Wrong.
It's just not. And, like, Quentin said this yesterday. Quentin, who's a friend of you guys' show, been on a lot, right? He said, you know, I wonder whether Georgia is going to play not to lose. I don't think that's going to happen. I think Kirby Smart is going to have his foot on the gas. I really do. He shut out Georgia Tech. Like, they were fighting. He was screaming at his defense to sack the quarterback when they had 0 points. Like, they were in their own territory, and he is fuming because they weren't getting to him fast enough. Like, I think this is a special year for Georgia. They're going to show that they're for real, and I don't see Kirby Smart coaching not to lose.
Oh yeah, I'm with you on that. I think this is a game Georgia wants badly. Now in the Heisman race, it's starting to get a lot more real because we just have such a large body of work for every single one of these players. Bryce Young still the odds-on favorite, but how did you see how did the Auburn game reshape your opinion on the Heisman race, or did it?
You know, it's sad because I really like C.J. Stroud and the fact that they couldn't get it done against Michigan. And Michigan played their heart out. Like, they really did come to play, and you have to give the win to Michigan. It wasn't like Ohio State lost it. Michigan really dominated pretty much the entire game with little spurts of life for Ohio State, but they were dominant. So – the fact that C.J. Stroud doesn't get a game in the Big Ten title to show himself and to show what he can do, and you saw Bryce Young put together a long drive against Auburn, which, like, let's be real. Like, can we just admit that the refs stole that game? Like, Auburn should have won that game. Uh-huh. I watched that entire game. Like, it was suspect throughout. like, they did not want Alabama to win that game or to lose that game. And so, to me, you have to give it to Bryce Young just because of the way that Alabama came back and won that in a very strange, peculiar, but impressive fashion. He was under duress the entire time and still found a way to get it done. So, yeah, I think I wouldn't vote on that. I mean, I wouldn't put my money there just because I don't think there's any real value to be had. I don't like any value plays. I know Quentin does, but I don't. I don't think anybody else wins it but him.
Trista Crick is our guest, host of BetMGM Tonight, our insider from the BetQL Network. Now, we also know your love of the Portland Trail Blazers. We talk about it often. I don't know if you saw, we were just talking about Dame's out for 10 days at least with his abdominal tendinopathy. But we have a question on, or I have a question on, how do you come to grips with betting on the Blazers, especially on the road? They're 1-10 you know, on the road, but I was looking against the spread. They're just as bad. They're 1-10 against the spread on the road.
Right now, I've been working on something in my mind. Okay. It's a manifesto. It's an NBA manifesto.
Sounds terrifying.
Based on every single team that you need to think about, because I forget. Like, I forget that Portland is so erratic. The only thing that I could say about betting Portland games is you should never take the total. Because you never know what's going to happen there. Mm-hmm. Like, they could come to play. They could blow a team out. They could fade late. Like, it's just all over the place. And, again, like you said, the only thing that is for sure is that this team stinks on the road. Yeah. That's what is for sure. I would never bet on them except for on the money line at home. Okay. I would only bet against them on the road. And I would bet him against the spread on the road, but it depends on the opponent, you know? So right. It's a tough thing. You know, I've really come almost to feel like this is a stay away team, except for those tenets. Against the spread on the road and outright on the road, maybe on the money line if there's value at home, never the total.
What's your go-to team then? If the Blazers are your stay away team, what is your go-to team that you're like cover machines in the NBA?
Golden State, the cover machine. Like, they, except for last night, which I stayed away from the side and I stayed away from the total because you throw everything out with these two teams, right?
Right.
You know that the Phoenix Suns have something to prove, that Robert Sarver thing has been hanging over their head, and that's why they lost their first, you know, 3 of 4. They went 1-3 and they haven't lost since. But outside of the Phoenix matchups, Golden State has been a monster. And on top of that, what I feel like is so interesting and valuable information to know is that when Golden State goes down by double digits, hop on them live and take them on the money line because they're winning those games outright and they're still covering. So even if, like, they were 6-point favorites, they go down 10, they still end up covering at 6. Hmm. And on top of that, you could double down, get them as dogs when they're down 10, and you can get them at plus money. When on earth should you ever be able to get, you know, Golden State at plus money? So I really like them. I really like Utah as well. Utah's been covering like crazy, and I've been fading the Lakers. The Lakers covered last night, but they're terrible. They're terrible against the spread with Bron, and they're terrible against the spread without Bron, but they are under machine. Like, you know, Lakers under machine, OKC under machine, Houston under machine. And when OKC plays Houston, oh my God, hammer it for even more.
All right, let's head to the NFL.
They're a lot.
Fair. Let's head to the NFL. What's the game that intrigues you the most this week?
Patriots and the Bills. You know, you see that line is currently, I could go with, you know, my team, the Dallas Cowboys, but the Saints are weird and throw everything out. But the Patriots right now are getting spotted a full field goal. That move, that line moved from last night from 2.5 to 3, back up to 3 again. My Lord, I think that the Patriots could win that game outright. I think the Patriots are a better team than the Bills. I think they're a more consistent team than the Bills. I think their offense is more dynamic than the Bills. I think their defense is more dynamic than the Bills. I think they have a better coach than the Bills. So, truthfully, I love that. I don't even know why I haven't played it yet. And if it went to 3.5, my Lord, I would put multiple units on that.
Yes.
Dusty is crowing.
That's right.
Over here.
Trista Crick.
Is that a take that you have?
Yeah, well, I just love the Patriots. And AJ is refusing to admit that the Patriots are good because she's a long-standing hatred for the New England Patriots, which I understand. I get it.
Yep.
But they're damn good this year.
I'm not saying they're not. I'm just saying that I'm not emotionally betting them. That's all I'm saying.
Fair. Oh, they're a stay-away team out of spite.
Yes.
Yes, yeah. I grew up in San Diego, so I was a diehard San Diego Chargers fan. I have since been left high and dry.
Yep.
By the Chargers, but that doesn't mean that my hatred for the teams that I grew up hating has dimmed. It is what it is.
I totally get it. I totally get that. And dominance is annoying.
It's so annoying.
It's so annoying. Is annoying.
And then they get caught cheating and I'm sorry. Did I miss? Was that inaccurate? No. Okay. Anyway. But that's going to devolve really quickly. We should not talk about that. Instead, I do agree with you on the Patriots over the Bills, though.
Yep. Trista, we always appreciate the time. Thank you very much, and we will talk to you next Wednesday. Thanks a lot.
Is Dave ever going to be healthy?
No.
I mean, the hope is yes.
This is going to be the season, isn't it? This is going to be the season that it's this way. Like, he's been this way since the Olympics. Like someone save me as an NBA fan. Someone save me.
We were talking about this earlier. It will be the best thing that the Blazers are doing are actually forcing him to shut down right now, because you know he's not going to do it on his own because of just who he is, how he's wired. So shutting him down now, because you know, we all know what the Blazers do every year is they turn and they look at the letter O in February after the All-Star break and say, save us. And he does. And you need him to have this ab situation figured out before February comes around, because if not, he's not going to be able to put his cape on and save this team and push him into the playoffs. So at least we got
it
going now.
It's been 5-6 months now that he's been struggling with it. I really hope he gets healthy soon.
Yeah.
All right, guys.
All right, Trista. Have a good one. Trista Crick.
Thanks for having me on.
She is our BetQL Network insider, host of BetMGM Tonight, and you can check her out on the Odyssey app. The Heat Check podcast.
Ooh.
Aha!
I like that.
All right. She loves the SEC championship game. Her stay away team is the Blazers.
Makes sense.
And this is a tough one because, you know, we were looking at the Blazers record on the road. Maybe you say a win is covering. The only game they've covered on the road this year, Houston.
Perfect.
Their Vegas record is the same on the road as their actual record.
Stellar.
Yeah. But her go-to team is the Golden State Warriors. But you stay away from teams like when they're playing Phoenix like they are last night.
Yeah.
All bets are off.
Yes.
You never know what you're going to get.
Yes.
And then she likes the Pats over Buffalo.
Which I do too. Buffalo's been so inconsistent.
Yeah.
I mean, I just, ever since that loss to the Jaguars, it's like, I don't know who you are.
Something that happened this morning I saw and I said, oh, time to bet against the Patriots this week. Is Mac Jones, apparently his agent filed for the trademark MJ10 after TB12.
Oh no.
And I joke, but that's one of those things that like agents will definitely do that because somebody else is going to file for a trademark and use it just because it's like, he's the quarterback of the Patriots.
Right.
He's going to go MJ10.
Right.
And you don't want other people monetizing that. So that trademark was filed. I was like, oh boy.
Yeah,
if we're already having the MJ10 method, we're in trouble.
Oh man. Interesting.
All right. Trista Crick, BetMGM Tonight. If you missed any of that interview, check it out. Les Schwab Tires podcast at 1080thefan.com. Hey, something happened last night that could be epic for a hometown team. AJ and Dusty on the Fan.
This is AJ and Dusty on 1080 The Fan.
All right, Portland Timbers are playing in the Western Conference Finals against
Saturday.
Real Salt Lake.
Saturday, 3:30 kickoff.
Real Salt Lake. That might not be the only home game remaining for the Portland Timbers, though.
So this was something that had the hashtag RCTID Twitter going a crazy last night because, so obviously there's, you know, we're in the conference semis,
right.
or conference finals, finals, excuse yeah. me. But last night, the final game on the Eastern Conference side was playing between New England and New York. And the way the MLS works is there's not like a designated hosting site for the MLS Cup. It goes to the top seeded team or, from my understanding, the team that has the most points in the regular season. So with the New England NYC game happening last night, it goes to PKs. Chaos.
Chaos. You should love this.
And so it goes to PKs, and then New England falls in PKs, which means that the Timbers will host, regardless of whether it is New York or Philadelphia, who comes out of the Eastern Conference if they win against Real Salt Lake on Saturday.
Not bad. Look at that. So they could be hosting the MLS Cup, which when they won, they were in Columbus. Mm-hmm. They lost in Atlanta.
Yep, I was at that match.
So this will be finally in Providence Park if they're able to win.
Yeah, but Real Salt Lake has had this really, really wild run through the playoffs so far. They beat Sporting KC at home, came back to do that. And then obviously Portland knocked off the top seeded Colorado on Thanksgiving Day to earn the right to host this round.
Wow.
So it's been a chaotic MLS playoff season.
Well, I hope that we get, I like championships in Portland.
Yeah.
That's always fun.
Oh, and Providence Park is going to be rocking. I mean, the Timbers Army is just, they're so impressive.
How has all of that played out since the Gavin Wilkinson and the fallout with the Thorns organization? Mm-hmm. Because the Timbers Army was, it wasn't just the Riveters. It was the Timbers Army was saying, you're not getting our cash. Has that changed since the playoffs?
I don't know if the concession ban is still happening because that was part of it for a while, was that nobody from the Army or from the Riveters was buying concessions, but they would still, you know, go to games. A lot of them have season tickets or whatever it is, and so they'd already paid their money. But what they do at every match is in the 24th minute, they typically will have a sign up that says, you know, believe NWSL players or you knew or something along those lines. And in terms of protesting, because 24 is the combination of Mana and Sinead's numbers.
Ah.
So it's in the 24th minute that they do that. And the match that I was just at, which was the one before the Rapids, they had done that as well. So that's still happening in the playoffs is the long story short there.
And the Thorns just named a new coach, right?
Yes, the Thorns did just name a new coach to go with their brand new general manager, Rianne. They're both Canadian. And so Karina LeBlanc, former keeper for the Thorns. In fact, she's the GM. She was the keeper in 2013, which was the Thorns' first NWSL season. And then Rianne is taking over for Mark Parsons, who from all accounts has just been beloved in his 6 years here in Portland, has done a great job with the Thorns, and a lot of players, seems sad to see him go. But Rianne coming in, and she was announced earlier this week.
And are they are taking steps in the right direction then? It kind of seems like the Timbers organization is doing all they can do, and Thorns organizations. What is the name of the group that owns them? Because it seems like they're kind of starting to say, all right, we said we were going to do some stuff. We were going to change. They're actually taking those steps forward. Because that story's relatively disappeared.
Right. Well, and a big part of that is because the Thorns have never had their own general manager. And so now they have their own general manager. And Karina is just this ball of energy. She is so fun. She's so... she obviously was a player. She was the head of CONCACAF for women's... so she was like in charge of bringing the women's game to, I think it was 41 different countries or something like that in her most recent role. And so she was in charge of like growing the game and things like that in the 41 different countries for CONCACAF. And so she, just her energy and her positivity and also her very authentic personality has just breathed, I think, a breath of fresh air into that club and certainly into that locker room, because this is going to be a weird year for the Thorns because there's an expansion draft happening in the NWSL. So you're going to lose some players, and it's a bit chaotic in the NWSL right now.
All right. Well, it's good that things are getting figured out here though.
Yeah. So if the Timbers beat Real Salt Lake, then they will host the MLS Cup a week from Saturday at noon.
As a soccer guy, I knew that.
Yeah. I did. Yeah. You already got your tickets?
Yeah. All right.
For sure.
Hour number three, we start with a little bit of news. We talked about at the beginning of this hour, Joe Moorhead, the offensive coordinator at Oregon. Andy Staples of The Athletic has an update of a potential target that's been floated out for Oregon fans. We'll start next hour with that. Plus, we've got to get to the Heisman Trophy odds. You asked Trista about the Heisman Trophy.
Yes.
Who is the front runner for the Heisman? AJ and Dusty on The Fan.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.